sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye hymns, thou earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er, Alleluia. Lo, he sets in blood no more, Alleluia. Lives again our glorious King, Alleluia. Where, O death, is now thy sting, Alleluia. Once he died our souls to save, Alleluia. Where's thy victory boasting grave, Alleluia.
Please be seated. The light of the world has come. Christ the Lord has risen today. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. Happy and blessed Easter to you all, and welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. I am so thankful to see you all today. Those of you who are gathering online with us, a special welcome to you. And those of you who are visiting, thanks for your presence with us today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister of this a lovely congregation, and you have a name too, I hear. So for a moment or two, let us stand, let us greet one another as warmly as possible, and then I will come back and read our call to worship. Please remain standing during that part and for the songs that follow. Let's greet each other right now, please. As you make your way back to your seat, please remain standing. And would you join me in the reading for today, the call to worship? This is Psalm 118. If you'll join me in today's reading, if you will read the parts in yellow, your parts are in the first slide, second slide, and fifth slide. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Them forever he established, his decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons all. Fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth's judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Please be seated.
Before I pray, I want to say this little thing we do every Easter, honoring my grandmother, my mother, my aunt. Chapter 9, verse 6, it says, unto you a child is born, unto you a child is given, and the governor will be upon his shoulders, and his name becomes the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it's Psalms 118:23 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every Sunday, Easter Sunday, my grandmother tells us a story. And so the story that I'm going to tell about Jesus, she always put on a play about old ship Isaiah. You know, any kind of play. So let's pray for everyone, every grandmother that tells stories, and keep them in their spirit and remind them when they go to church. And every Easter Sunday, lead out with a story to tell, to pass down from generation to generation. Father God, we come boldly before you in front of your throne, Father God. Father God, this church and every other church that serves you, Father God. Salvation, Father God, is free. My grandmother always told me that. My grandmother always say, Obedience better than sacrifice. Me and my brother was talking about that yesterday. That's one word that stick with each and every one of us, Father God. We obey God today, Father God. It's the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice every Easter day that we wake up, Father God. Each and every day that we wake up, we praise you, Father God. You're the one that wakes us up in the morning. You're the one that's, you know, lay us down at night. You know, Father God, I love to tell stories. I write them on my Facebook page, and I tell the story how my grandmother came from nothing. I tell the story how my mother said, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. So, Father God, each and every one of them need to hear this story. Hear them wherever they're at. If they're in the hospital, Father God, hear them. Hear the counselors, Father God. Hear the people that are dealing with depression, Father God. Hear the doctors, Father God. Give them good report, Father God. You know, Father God, you said if we touch the hem of your garment, we shall be made whole. Father God, each and every one of us, Father God, we touching the hem of your garment because we came to church this morning, we woke up. And Father God, without you, Father God, there is no other God. So, Father God, thank you for the babies. Father God, that's going to do Easter egg hunts today, Father God. Thank you for the children, Father God, that brought their baskets, Father God. Because, Father God, some families out there don't have nothing, Father God. But you still watch over them, Father God. So keep them in perfect peace, Father God. And, Father God, you said just like this, if we willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. So, Father God, every one of us in this church is willing and obedient, Father God. We obey you when we go to class after this church is over with. We obey you, Father God, in prayer, Father God. And we pray for those who cannot make it, Father God. We pray for those that's in the hospital, Father God. We pray for those, Father God, that's dealing with dementia, Father God, or anything, Father God. So, Father God, heal them, Father God. And, Father God, you know, Father God, they is in your hands, and your angels is covering over them. So bless this church. Bless this sergeant family, Father God. Bless each and every one, Father God. Just do your will, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord. How much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the angels exalt you on high. What a kingdom to depart, but you left your throne in the sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee.
A prayer of praise. I have chosen a prayer authored by Scottish minister Kathy Galloway. It is titled A Resurrection Prayer. Christ, our life, you are alive in the beauty of the earth, in the rhythm of the seasons, in the mystery of time and space. Alleluia. Christ, our life, you are alive in the tenderness of touch, in the heartbeat of intimacy, in the insights of solitude. Alleluia. Christ, our life, you are alive in the creative possibility of the dullest conversation, of the dreariest task, the most threatening event. Alleluia. Christ, our life, you are alive to offer recreation to every unhealed hurt, to every deadened place, to every damaged heart. Alleluia. You set before us a great choice. Therefore, we choose life. The dance of resurrection soars and surges through the whole creation. This is grace. Dying, we live. So let us live.
Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Friends, go to the roots table. Will you please join me up here? I have something for you that I left at my chair. All right, if you are at the roots table, you can come grab one of these. All right, these are for you. These are, what do you think these are? Can you tell what these are? These are seeds. What kind of seeds? They are flower seeds. That's right. All sorts of flower seeds. We're going to put these right here in a moment. You can just take one. Do you want to open one, see what they look like?
No.
No?
Yeah.
You okay, two yeses, three noes. I'm the deciding vote. Okay, let's look at them. Come here. Let's see what happens in my hand. All right. Here we go. How big do you think they are?
Really
smart. Oh my goodness,
it's like mustard seeds.
Like mustard seeds or pepper?
Yeah.
They look like pepper. We're not going to eat them, although that sounds fun. So in a moment, you can take one of these. You can take them, put them in your pockets. You can take them back to the roots table if you want. You can do one of two things with them. You can join us up here, Maya, if you want.
I don't have any pockets.
No pockets. Okay, well, you can just give it to the adult that you came with today. You can do one or two things with these. You can plant them outside wherever you live and see what happens. See if they'll grow. Maybe an adult can help you. Or you can just place it around your apartment or your house, wherever you live. And just think, every time you look at it, there is great potential for life in these seeds. Here on Easter, we get to celebrate that something has emerged from the ground. Someone has emerged from the ground. That Jesus has emerged from the ground. There is great potential for life in us there. All right, you can take one or two of these if you want. You can head now back to the roots table. Miss Brandy is heading that direction.
I don't want to take any.
You do not have to then. Yes. Yes. I am not sure. That's a great question.
Probably.
Thank you, friends. There are plenty of seeds left up here, so if you would like to grab one on your way home today, that would be just fine. Well, before I preach, I want to say thank you for Lisa. Thank you for reading so purposefully and beautifully today. And Jessica, that beautiful prayer that you spoke. And Jesse, wherever you went, thank you for that. And Caleb, for leading us in song as usual. Well, let's pray again together, please. As Jessica said earlier, O God, therefore we choose life because you have chosen life for us and in us. So we give you thanks this day. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's through Christ we do all things and pray this morning. Amen. Through some branches of our Christian faith tradition, there sprang a long time ago a visual interpretation of the last day of Jesus' life in Jerusalem. Stations of the Cross, it came to be known as, a series of 14 listed moments that illustrated the accepted processional route that Jesus walked on his way to the cross. These 14 moments chosen have been altered a bit over the centuries, but they've generally included the main points, like Jesus taking up his cross, Simon of Cyrene carrying it for him, the actual crucifixion, the death, the burial. Over the centuries, stations of the cross came first in spoken form, then in reenactment form, then in book form, and then in sculpture form outside of church buildings before finally moving the stations inside of church buildings so that people could see them while they worshiped and to get them out of the rain. Now safe from the elements, the stations took on other forms, from miniature bronze statues to simple paintings to elaborate stained glass installed where windows might be, the streaming sun glowing the glass into radiant colors. Perhaps you have been inside such cathedrals or church buildings before. Driving around Houston yesterday, I saw at least one church with a Stations of the Cross banner inviting people in. The stations are usually performed or walked during Lent, which is fitting, and observed particularly on Good Friday, which was just 2 days ago. Ideally, the idea behind it all was to stir reflection and repentance and wonder at the chief scenes of Jesus' sufferings and death. You want to close your eyes, but you know you cannot. So you move from one station to the next prayerfully, solemnly, sorrowfully. This is the Christ whose name you have chosen to take on. Having not been raised on that Christian branch, the Stations of the Cross were never in my purview, not until college when I took some classes over in Europe and I marveled at the stained glass and old stone basilicas. It really was striking. As little as I knew about the Stations of the Cross, I knew less about another practice called the Stations of the Resurrection, or by another name, Stations of the Light. Since the Stations of the Resurrection are relatively new, developed in practice form less than 40 years ago, odds are that I am not the only one here for whom this practice was unknown. In 2009, I began meeting with a spiritual director at the behest of my good friend and your good friend, Bobby Huebner, who is perhaps watching online from Dallas right now. Hello, Bobby. Spiritual direction, as I have shared before, remains one of the best decisions I have made, both professionally and personally. For the first 8 years I spent with Chuck, my spiritual director, we met at the Cynical Retreat House here in Houston. Cynical, not C-Y-N cynical, meaning distrustful, skeptical, suspicious, but C-E-N cynical, from a Greek word meaning upper room. At the Cynical, after my hour-long appointments with Chuck, I would typically stay another hour or so on the property by myself. I would find an empty room and read. I would find a chair in the shade and write. Or I would find a bench and sit in silence, giving thanks for the free-ranging peacocks that roamed and honked and winged themselves up to the tops of the buildings. Sometimes I would join the peacocks in the roaming, careful to keep my distance. I don't know if peacocks poke people's eyes out, but I did not want to learn the hard way. The 9 acres of the Cynical grounds were beautiful and peace-filled. If you ever went, you know, right? Pine trees and crepe myrtles and azaleas too in the springtime, green everywhere. A year or two before Harvey decimated the Cynical, and 3 years before the place was bulldozed, and 4 years before two-story houses were built in their place, Chuck, my spiritual director, mentioned to me that I should check out the Stations of the Resurrection if I hadn't already. I hadn't already, I said. I don't even know what that is. He pointed me in the general direction of the eastern side of the retreat center, a section I had never ventured to before because it was closer to the main street and therefore louder. I am sad now I didn't take any pictures of what I saw, though, since I promised myself that every time I went to the Cynical, my phone would be turned off and in my truck, I cannot get too upset. But thanks to the miracle of the internet, I found some. Affixed to a single tree just outside a clump of trees, I saw a wooden sign that read, Stations of the Light, with an inscriptive dedication to the artist. Then, without a compass to guide me, I stepped into the tiny forest behind it, darkened a bit by the canopy of leaves overhead and the brown pine needles below. Right off the bat, another small wooden sign, obviously hand-carved, chisel marks grooved and cut upon its surface. It bore a passable representation, I guess, who knows, of a fully bearded and alive Jesus, with his arms spread out wide, either as a welcome gesture or as an early morning stretch, having slept in such a tight space since the previous Friday. The bottom of the wooden sign read, Jesus rises from the dead, with a Roman numeral 1 next to it. Searching, I located the next sign with the Roman numeral 2 on it, the finding of the empty tomb. It was also hand-carved, chisel-marked, several shades of brown, the only color. And then 3 on another tree, the risen Lord appears to Mary Magdalene. And then 4, Mary Magdalene proclaims the resurrection to the disciples. And here, Mary, as she spoke, had this splendid mixture of fear and wonder on her face. And the disciples, 3 of them seen, had lips notched into a permanent letter O. I like that one. Then came 5, Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and then 6 and 7, all the way to, you guessed it, 14. The risen Lord sends the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. In that grove, it was as if I was participating in a life-size connect the dots, drawing lines between stations with my feet. Had Cora been with me at the time, I could have found the successive numbers more quickly, but as it was, I was not in a hurry, for the stations had slowed me down, yet they moved me. That might have been because these resurrected depictions were not encased inside an old church building, nor a tomb for that matter, but quietly nailed to pine trees without pomp, without show, without tourists. You had to look for them. You had to want to find them. Had I not been told about them, they would have stayed hidden to me, but still been there, nevertheless. Contrary to the clamor of last Thursday and Friday when crowds and chants filled the air, Jesus' resurrection event was significantly quieter. It wasn't silent, mind you, like it was on Saturday when no movements came from the occupied grave, but Sunday morning was somewhat discreet. After Jesus woke up, he did not go throughout Jerusalem banging on the doors of his opponents. Gotcha, sucker. He didn't visit Pilate and yell, "You should have listened to your wife." He didn't go around Israel sticking "Happy Easter" signs in people's front yards. In Matthew's telling of it, there was quite a bit of noise, an earthquake, and how that did not wake the masses, I will never know. But the noise seemed to affect the eyes more than the ears. The racket had been caused by an angel of God of all creatures, creaking open the pent-up tomb with great seismic and divine activity before sitting squarely on top of that large stone, no longer covering the hole. The posted guards keeping watch were stunned literally by what they saw and fainted as if dead. 2 solitary women, early risers, both were there too. And though Mary and Mary likely panicked, they did not lose consciousness like the men did. The ensuing monologue involving the 3 remaining beings, 2 human, 1 angelic, was just between them at first, of course. No media, no crowd, none of the disciples who on Passover swore that they would never leave him. The address to Mary and Mary was personal. Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus. He isn't here. Come, take a look. Go. Tell, you will see him. Running away from the cemetery, they experienced within a stark inner contradiction, afraid yet somehow joyed. The kind of feeling one might have when falling in love, or at the birth of a child, or climbing Angel's Landing in Zion's National Park. Fear and delight at the same time. 1,000 things could go wrong, and yet wonder. For the Marys, that contradiction only increased when they ran smack into Jesus. They may not have been looking for him, but he sure was looking for them. Greetings, he said. The word used there also means rejoice, rejoice, said Jesus. And they did. Taking hold of his feet, they worshiped him. Don't be afraid, you two. Go, tell. They will see me. Our reading for today ends there, but the quietness in Matthew's resurrection continues. Had we kept going, we would have discovered that when the guards finally came to, they were given hush money to cover up the whole thing, to tell no one the truth. We would have also seen that Jesus eventually did meet up with his disciples, just 11 of them, without Judas. He spoke to the small group and they worshiped and even doubted. Although Matthew reports no ascension, he does describe what Jesus commissioned. He sent them out into the world with the ability and the authority to keep doing the very same things that he had been doing his entire life. Walking around these secreted wooden symbols here at the cenacle, we notice that Matthew's version of the first new day only speaks about two or maybe three of the stations of the resurrection, and that's okay. The other Gospels and the book of Acts will fill in the rest of the 14. But Matthew does give us enough to go on. His Eastering story reminds us that resurrection is not about and never will be about human ingenuity or achievability. Localized earthquakes and celestial angels and rolled away stones make it clear that we are faced with God's possibilities and not our own. Resurrection, in all its many forms, is completely about the capacity and determination of God, who keeps shaking and intruding on anything that prays around like a roaring lion, anything that speaks the language of death but calls it life. Those kind of signs are everywhere, and not that I need to recap them for you. From proud selves to hungry bellies to continuing disappointment to resolute discrimination to cluster bombs to assault rifles to Capitol buildings and even sometimes to church steeples. Stenches of death obscuring the fragrance of life. But if the resurrection is true, if it teaches us anything, it's that death in the end, and because of God, death is overcome. That death has been swallowed up, that death has no sting, that death has no path to victory. While those stenches will continue to reek to the high heavens, they hold about as much weight as the empty tomb. Despite the fact that you still have to hold your nose and plug your ears more often than you'd like, it no longer has the last smell or the last word because a new sound has begun quietly at first, but rising steadily to crescendo, the echo of gratitude. Wonder, empathy, and of course, great love. God's resurrective power is making all things new. And God is making you new too. For the stations of the resurrection are more powerful than the logos of death. If you can believe any of that, or even if you have trouble believing it sometimes, you are likely to run smack into Jesus, maybe fully bearded, maybe not, who will meet you on the road, in the house, in a tiny forest, wherever. He will tell you not to fear, which might only raise your fear. He'll give you a greeting of great joy, which you might experience within you too. He will tell you to go forth, for you have a purposeful calling upon your life. And he will tell you that others will see him too. For when the world looks around for the risen Jesus, when they want to know what it means that they will look at you, at us, since we have taken on his name. Therefore, sisters, brothers, friends, strangers, neighbors, walk out of the grove of trees and go. The stations of the resurrection, they are not stationary. You carry them with you. They are etched onto your soul. They are carved into the increasing creases on your face. They are whittled into the crisscross lines upon your hands. You are a station of light. You are a living testimony to the resurrection of Jesus the Christ, for he is alive and so are you. Thanks be to God. And together we can say or we can type, amen, amen and amen. Our waters are ready for baptism. I think it's warm. If you would like to be baptized today, if you want to have that conversation with me, if you want to claim a life other than your own, taking on the life of Jesus, his cross, his death, and especially his resurrection, you can come and talk to me. Let's stand together as we sing, and I will be stationed right up here if you would like that conversation. Thank you. Anointing.
This is the season for a fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters may arise and shine. That the sons and of glory may arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the kings, every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory, now arise and shine as we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. King of glory, fill the earth. As we declare, this is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen. Please be seated. It's on. Yeah, you're good. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the God who lives among us, in us, around us. We eat the bread and we drink from the cup with joy because we remember the love God has for us and that sin and death do not prevail. The empire of the world, for as many as Caesar's as keep trying, cannot overcome the power of Christ's resurrection. We keep telling each other this truth, and we see it in simple bread and simple cup. This is my body, Jesus says, it's broken for you. This is my blood poured out as a covenant for so many people. Today on Easter Sunday, I would like to invite you to come and eat, to literally rise and come to the table, symbolically stating that we are alive because of Christ. We stand and use our body for the nourishment that He alone can give. I want to invite a couple of people, as we typically do every single Sunday, to help pass out the bread and the cup. But instead of us going, I'm going to invite you to come forward. So right now, if you would like to help, if you're interested in doing that, you can just come on right now as I'm still speaking. And we're going to station over here and right here in the center and right here on my left. And when you're ready, when King will have some music playing, you can just come up and eat and drink if you prefer and choose to stay at your seat. That's okay too. I'll ask for another volunteer to make sure that that you receive the bread and the cup, and someone will walk to you. You just remain seated, just maybe even raise your hand, and that's good. So let's do that. After I pray, come on up, Craig. Thank you. Steve, you can join too. We can do two at each station. That's great. So maybe one more person can help right here in the middle with Steve. Thank you, Caleb. Dee, how about you come right here, and I will make sure to go out to the congregation and share. All right, Caleb, how about you take with Jesse, Craig, and Steve? How about y'all take the middle? Caleb, y'all can scoot over a little bit further, and y'all can scoot over a little bit further. Let's pray together, please, and let's eat and drink together. We rejoice today, God, because the body is broken and yet not dead. It is alive and feeds us even still. And so we rejoice in that. And same with the cup, the bread and the cup, which is Jesus' body and blood. And so we rejoice and give thanks today. And now we get to celebrate with one another. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. So how about we give just as we have been given? Your gift today might come in the form of money. So if you choose to do that, we'll have a couple of guys in just a moment walk around with an offering tray. You can place in your contribution, your tithe, right in there. If you happen to fill out any of those cards that are right behind the seat in front of you, you can put all that in there, and we will receive it with great gratitude. So thank you for that. Let's pray together, and these guys will walk around. We do give you thanks again, God, for the giftedness of Christ who lives. And now we also give, and let this be a representation of our lives that we want to learn to give as you have given to us. So would you receive these as our hearts and hands give them? For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, and while they are walking around, just a couple of family matters I want to share with you. We'll talk more about this in the weeks to come in our newsletter and bulletin, but there is a new Thursday Bible class beginning this week. The Peter Principles is the spring topic. Thank you, Andrea. If you'd like to be a part of that, Thursdays, 10:30 a.m. in person and on Zoom. There is an Easter egg hunt today immediately after service. So if you have children who, say again, after class, thank you for correcting me. There is a class slide. Thank you for correcting me. This will be after classes. It will be in the small courtyard and parking lot to my right between the two buildings. Around 12 o'clock, I will station myself at the far end of that hallway, and your children can come and gather there. If you, as the child's parent or guardian, would like to come and watch and be a part of that and take pictures, you can do that. We'll start that right after classes today, about 12:05. And we do indeed have Bible classes today. Thank you, Caleb. These are all over our building still, and I hope that you choose to be a part of one of these. Our benediction today will come in the form of song, and then I will return up here and read from Matthew 28. Once again, thank you for joining us today. May God bless you this happy and blessed Easter morning. Let's stand as we sing, and then let's remain standing for the benediction to follow.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
I did not mention that there are indeed, you may have noticed, lilies to my left and to my right. They are just waking up. So many of them are just waking up. Perfect for today. If your name is listed in the bulletin this morning, either in if you are listed in honor of, you may take one of these home. If someone that is related to you or a friend of yours is in memory of, feel free to take these home in honor of them. So we'll let you kind of have the first pick. but there are going to be plenty left over, so everybody should take one home. If you do not want it yourself, this would be a great gift to give to your neighbor. So welcome them that way with perhaps a lily. All right, this comes from the end of Matthew chapter 28. Would you receive these as our benediction today? Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go forth in peace and purpose."